Okay, so here's my question for you today. All right? Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? Are you dead yet? A question is, are you dead yet? Okay, now the reason why I ask you that is, when you're dealing with the two most important certificates, if you're trying to find somebody in your ancestry and your history and stuff like that, usually you have to find, it's really good to find the birth certificate. How many of you had to deal with finding a birth certificate that maybe was not easy, right? Come on. Birgit, did you ever have issues with, like, proving who you are? Because you had to get a birth certificate all the way from Estonia, right? So that's a big deal, isn't it? Everybody has to have a birth certificate, right? To prove who you are, right? But also, if you're checking out your family history, you also have to have a death certificate, too. Because that proves that they're dead. And it's a very important document. You actually need to have a doctor sign off on it. And a coroner, I mean, it's got to be someone who says, this person is dead. They're dead. And they try to say, well, this is how they died. But it has to be stated and recorded, and it's there. Now, here's what I want to tell you today. The Word of God says that not only do you have a new birth certificate, but God also gave you a death certificate when you became a Christian. And some Christians try to act like they only have a birth certificate, but not a death certificate. Do you hear me? So I may step on a few toes today, Ronnie. You have to use your healing ministry. And you may have to do some healing toe service after this message. The toe healing service. Because the Bible says that we are dead. And we need a death certificate in our Christian experience. Just as much, can somebody say amen to that? Just as much as we need a new birth certificate. And John 3, you know, when Jesus came to Nicodemus at nighttime, and he said, you must be born again or from above. It's just kind of evil. It's kind of even, Stephen, what it could mean. And flip a coin and you could say born from above. Flip the coin again, it could say born again. To me, it means the same thing. Because our new birth is from heaven only. We're not talking about going back into the womb again. That's what Nicodemus was thinking. You mean you're going to make me go back and have another life like reincarnation? Right? Come on now, karma. That ain't happening. You know karma is a teaching from the devil. Reincarnation is from the devil. We're not going back on this earth again. Come on, everybody, thumbs down. Come on, thumbs down. There's no reincarnation. You're not getting born from this place again. The only second birth there is that you will have in your life is one from heaven. God designed us to be created again from heaven only. He didn't want us coming back out of the earth again. They're called zombies, right? Is that right, Nanny? Ain't no zombie. Ain't no zombie. So, but we have been given a birth certificate and a death certificate. So now we're going to go to our scripture. You ready? So let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And it's in several places, but I want you to see this is a crucial teaching for you and me. Because there's a lot of Christianity being taught on television, in media, on the internet that doesn't teach. It teaches that you're alive, but it doesn't teach that you're dead. So people try to live a new life without knowing that their old life is dead. It doesn't work. doesn't work. Okay. If, now, here's what I want y'all to do for me, okay? I want you to say the word Christ. All right? Now, I'm going to read the first four verses. Let's stand. Can we stand? Can we stand? If you can do that. Now, we got baby back there, so baby could sit. Okay? But that's okay. Y'all stand. Y'all stand if you can. And every time we come to the word Christ in these first four verses, I want you to say it out loud. I'm going to say the rest of it. You got it? Everybody got it? I say everything but the word Christ, and y'all say Christ. Here we go. If you have been raised with
Christ,
seek the things that are above where
Christ
is seated at the right hand of God. So the first two verses, Christ is in both verses. Gee, don't you think it might be important that this is about who?
Christ.
Yeah, it's about him. All right, next verse. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Okay, next one. For you have died, and your life is hidden with
Christ
in God. So where's your life?
In Christ.
In God, because he's in God. All right, is that verse 4?
Yeah.
Okay, so now you can sit down. You've done good. You've done really good. Did we read verse 4? Oh, no, verse 4. We forgot. You stay seated. Here we go. Ready? Verse 4. See, there's no verses numbers on here. Here we go. Ready? When
Christ,
there we go, who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him. That's Christ in glory. So when Christ appears, when are you going to appear? When he appears. So your new birth is in Christ only. Your life is hidden in Christ. And where is Christ right now? He's in heaven. Now, he's here by the Holy Spirit. But Christ is in heaven. And we are, now look here, as Christ is here without us seeing him, so are we with Christ, come on, without us seeing us there. Let me say that again. Come on, y'all going to get this right. I'm going to get this right. Ready? Y'all pray for me. As Christ is with us on earth without seeing him, so are we with Christ in heaven without seeing us. I mean, I don't see myself in heaven right now with these eyes. I look up there and I see a ceiling. Right? And if you are into fixing buildings, you look at that building, oh, that light needs to be changed. Right? Or if you look, oh, that's not going, you know, I mean, you're looking up and you're going, oh, I like the stars. So we can't see ourselves with our natural eyes in heaven with Christ. And we can't see Christ here with us on earth unless the eyes of our heart. If you use those eyes, you can see Jesus right here.
Amen.
And if you use these eyes, you can see you. Come on now.
Yes.
See yourself in heaven with the eyes of your heart. Can we do that?
Yes.
So here's what I want us to do right now. Somebody needs to turn the air conditioning up a little bit. Birgit forgot to bring her woolly hat. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Let's all close our eyes. Everybody has eyes closed? Okay, now put your hand on your heart. And Lord Jesus, we want to see you here with us with the eyes of our heart. So Lord, we welcome your presence. It matters that you're here with us. Here's what I saw. When I was seeing heaven with the eyes of my heart, I saw light. I saw a lot of sunlight. I saw light and almost like clouds kind of breaking up. And I saw Jesus walking among us. At this point, it wasn't a throne. I saw him.
Okay.
So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. When you spend time with God, see yourself in heaven. Close your eyes. Do whatever it takes to use the eyes of your heart. And don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Allow the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk to you about my friend Gerard. How many of you remember Gerard? He came here and talked about dreams, right? He said, and it's true, the research has shown Muslims get saved first by dreams more than any other method of evangelism. God just gives them dreams, and they get saved. There have been situations with entire villages. Somebody walked in there and said, oh, by the way, did you see this man come to you in white and tell you about love? Oh, yeah, we see him all the time. His name is Jesus. Boom, whole village gets saved. So dreams, he said, researchers shown that Muslims get saved first by dreams, second by healing, and then third by relationships. That's how they get saved. Why? There's something about that particular religion where they can see it. They can see themselves, and they accept it and receive it. All right? So it's important for us as Christians. Now think about this. People are getting saved through dreams, and yet Christians in America don't pay attention to their dreams. Come on. We need to let the eyes of our heart open up and see ourselves in heaven with Jesus. Come on. We need to see ourselves when we pray with Him. He may have something to show us. But it's important to see yourself seated with Christ. But here's the thing. When you get your birth certificate in heaven and your residency in heaven and your citizenship in heaven, write this down, Philippians 3:20. We are citizens in heaven. We're not visitors. We are not temporary work visas. What year did you get your citizenship? 1996. When did you get your real citizenship in heaven? 1987. So I got mine in 1974, August 11th. No, August 24th. 1974 is when I got my birth certificate and my citizenship in heaven. I also got my death certificate that day, too. They issued at the same time. The old John died. But I had to deny, I'm going to show you that we discover our death after we discovered his life. Let me say that again. We discover that we died when we discover that he's alive. Only then can we discover that we're really dead. Because, again, you can't if you try to discover Jesus alive, if you really discover him alive, you will die. And you will die. Okay? You can't just really see Jesus and go, oh, that's cool, Jesus. You're such a cool dude. I'll just do whatever I want for the rest of my life. You can't do that with God. Just don't happen. I'm going to show you in Isaiah chapter 6. Let's look at Isaiah 6. You ready? So we're going to get fully equipped with our death certificate. Isaiah chapter 6. And in the year, and while you're turning there, I'm going to start reading. Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. And by the way, the Lord, I really believe it's Jesus. Because he started on the throne, then he came to earth, and then he went back to the throne. Remember? So it wasn't like God had to create a throne for him after he came to earth. He already had the throne in heaven before he came to earth as a man. Okay, so this is the Lord Jesus that he is seeing on the throne. I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. It's glory, right? What an outfit this guy was wearing, right? Next verse. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with the two he flew. Awesome vision. These are amazing creatures. If you want to have fun, look up seraphim images. There are some amazing pictures that these artists have done of seraphim. They are cool, cool creatures. Aren't you glad it isn't just you and me in heaven? God put a few more interesting beasts up there. Okay. We can really go off on a rabbit trail there. Okay, next. And they called one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Notice they say holy three times. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Right? They're all holy. Next verse. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of the Lord who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Next. And I said, here we go. You ready? "Woe is me. Repentance. For I am lost." Now that word lost means destroyed. That's what it means. It doesn't mean like I haven't found. I'm like, you know, I don't know where I'm supposed to be. That is not the sense of that word. It's not so much lost. It is I am undone. How many of you have seen that in King James? I'm undone. Or how about the word destroyed? How about the word perish? The first time that this word is used, lost, is perish. So what happened? Isaiah is saying, I am dead. I'm dead. I'm done. I'm taken apart. I'm gone. It's not like he needs to find his way. Please, don't see it that way. So when did Isaiah discover that he was dead? When he saw Jesus. When he saw Jesus. And that's the kind of vision that we need. Now turn to Revelation. By the way, I dwell, and you can, let me finish it. "For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King." So that means not only am I dead, but everybody around me, everything they say, dead to me. It's all dead to me. It's unclean. It's not holy. Now let's turn to Revelation 1:17. Here we go. You ready? This is awesome. Revelation chapter 1. John goes through the... He meets Jesus. And then it says here, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." As a dead man. So, again, your death comes when you see the risen Jesus. Can somebody say, come on. Amen. It's time for us to understand the revelation truth. This is revelation knowledge, guys. You cannot see your death without revelation knowledge of Jesus. And then to see yourself as dead. We need to see that foundation in our life. Amen? Praise God. Come on. We're dead. We're dead. We're dead. And I'm glad I'm dead. I'm glad I'm dead. Don't resurrect this dead old boy. I don't want to. I'm sorry. I'm glad she doesn't know the old John. I'm glad. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. We used to sing that song, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above," which is this passage. It was an old scripture song. And the chorus went, "You are dead, ye are dead, ye are dead." And that was like, yeah, dead, 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 dead. It's like, well, that's really uplifting. Yes, it is. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay? So, Christ entered into our death so that we could enter into his life. Entering into his life brings us into his death. Let me say that again. You ready? Christ entered into our death. Whose death did Christ die on the cross? Did he really? I mean, was he? He was sentenced to death, but was he really, in God's eyes, worthy of death? No. I mean, even Pilate said, this man is innocent. He washed his hands. He did not die for his own sins. He died for our sins. The death he died for our death. Come on. He didn't die. He wasn't going to death. And the only reason why Jesus died is because we were going to die.
That's right.
Oh. Yeah. So Jesus took your death upon himself so that you would not have to die for real. So that you could be alive in the spirit. Come on, you do not have the sentence of death over you. And don't talk like it. Because you already died. Glory to God. Come on. So the death, Christ entered into our death so that we could enter into his life. We are not operating on our life principle anymore. Whoa, this is so powerful. Our life principle is his life in us, living out his life in us. We are not alive anymore. Our life is hidden with Christ, and it's his life living out in us. That's what you're doing today. That's why you're at church today, because it's Jesus saying, I'm going to church. And you said, all right. And you know what? The best leaders are the ones that make you think it's your idea to do something. Boom. Come on now. That's why Jesus is the best leader, because he makes you think it was your idea. Glory to God. When it was really his idea for you to live a godly life. It was. And he'll even let you take a little credit for it, just so, you know. But here's the thing. It was his plan all along for you to be walking in victory, for you to be walking in victory, for you to be walking in healing. It was his plan. It was his will. Not my will be done. Come on. My will. Listen, we'd be eating hot dogs the rest of our life. We'd never know what a steak was if it wasn't for Jesus. Jesus says, come on, it's time for you to upgrade your meal a little bit. It's time for you to live in a little nicer house. It's time for you to drive a little nicer car. It's time for you to have a little better friend. It's time for you to be a little healthier. It's time for you, come on, it's time for you to get your upgrades. It's time for you to live some God life. Come on, it's time for you. It's his life in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Wow. This is, you know, wow. So entering into God's life brings us into his death. So for us, being raised with Christ now means we are presently dead in Christ. We don't die with Christ first, but we are raised to life first in Christ. And then we realize, oh my goodness, I'm dead. You see what I'm saying? We get resurrected and with him. And then we go, wait a minute. If I'm resurrected, that means I died. Does that make sense? When I got born again, it just happened. I mean, Jesus said, I'm coming for you, buddy. He said it like that. He said it through a Swedish man. I already told you that, right? I started laughing because his accent was so funny. And Swedes sound funny when they speak English. They just do. So anyway, I just get saved laughing at this man's accent. Because Jesus came in. And then I'm a new creature. And there it is. Wait a minute. I'm a new creation now. I must have died. Hear what I'm saying? The old man already died before I even realized it. This is so important because the devil will try to make you suffer and act like you're dying all the time. To make you suffer. That's not Christian living. Christian living is living in the resurrection, knowing that you've been dead for a long time.
Amen.
That's now you're living the life. I'm living the life now. Glory to God. I'm living the life. I don't have to go back and die. I mean, I'm dead already. Now I'm going to act like I'm dead. Just act like you're dead. And we're going to get to that. Trust me. We're going to get to that. It's right here. No. That's why Jesus could say, if any man believe in me, will never see death. He'll never see death. He's passed from death to life. So it's like, it's like the elevator going up to the top floor. You missed that other floor called death. And by the way, you died on the way. Glory to God. That's a good analogy. Don't you think that works? Come on. You're on the elevator. You're going to the top floor. And you missed that one that says death. But you passed it. You got it. You're there. Come on. You got to walk in it. You got to live in it. Come on. Jesus doesn't want you to go through all that mess he went through. Come on. Now, you know, if it happens, it happens. People will die and they'll suffer in this place, but it's like there's a grace. There's a power there. Either like the Apostle John, they tried to boil him and he wouldn't boil in oil. He just wouldn't fry up. Sorry, guys. No fried John, Apostle John today for dinner. He wouldn't fry, so they said, okay, we'll just stick him on the Isle of Patmos. But then there are others, it says, who died. But the grace was there. The grace was there. It's like, hey, I'm dead already. They were singing God's praises while the stones were flying. What was Stephen doing? Was Stephen sitting there going, oh, woe is me? No. Stephen was saying, I see Jesus. I see the resurrection. I don't see those stones flying. God just, whoop, gave him a vision of Jesus on the throne. You see the grace that was on his man's life? Do you see why, like the Chinese people right now, Chinese Christians, they're all like, hey, that, I mean, like just about every Chinese pastor has been in jail for Jesus. That's just like, oh, you want to be a pastor? Well, you'll do at least 10 years in jail. Anybody want to be a pastor in China? Guess what? They're lighting up. Why? Because they know they've died already. It's glory. It's glory. There's glory. There's glory in Jesus. We got to see that because you know what I'm saying? We're in America, praise God. I thank God for this country. I thank God that we're not China. All right? I thank God that we're not China. I thank God that they don't throw people in gulags. You know what I mean? Or Christians. I'm glad. But at the same time, there's grace and there's victory. Like the three guys in the fiery furnace said, Nebuchadnezzar, if God, our God, is able to deliver us, and if he doesn't, we still won. Either way, it was win-win. Either way. Praise God. Praise God. Man, we ought to be running around the room right now. Praise God. Yes.
I was just thinking about this. I couldn't find it.
You found it yet?
Just this thing about Stephen. When he kneeled down, he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
He fell asleep.
Woo-hoo!
That's right. So they even changed the language. They changed the language to reflect the spiritual reality.
Amen.
They changed their language to reflect the spiritual reality. And so when the girl was in the room and Jesus came and he said to the woman, he says, don't worry, she's not dead, she's just asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. He kicked them out of the room and said, young lady, get up.
Amen.
It's time to wake up. You know how it is hard to get little girls out of bed. Some girls. Oh, they just want to roll over one more time. Right? So Jesus said, they're just asleep. This is powerful. It's powerful. Do you realize that our faith in Christ and the reality of our spiritual resurrection gives us the strength to face anything that anybody can throw at us and cause us to be victorious? Victorious. And the thing is that there's too many Christians out there that act like they haven't died. We are heavenly beings now. We were born from above. We are new creation. And it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you don't know that scripture, just say it over yourself. We are new creations in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I am a new creation. I am a new creation. Say it with me. I am a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. That's called death. And once you die, you die. You can't die again. Once you die, you can't die again. The worst thing about reincarnation is that people die more than once. God loves you so much that he's not going to let you die more than once. And even that first death, he took it on himself. Come on now, how can anybody seriously think that any kind of weird doctrine like that would be given any consideration compared to what God says? Come on now. Why would God want somebody to die more than once? And that's why you talk about the second death. I'm not going to that second death. No way. And neither should you. And we don't want anybody else to go to it. So my question is, are we heavenly? Are we hidden? Or are we earthly as a Christian? And I think sometimes the Christian mentality that you see out there, and I don't want it to be that way here, is that somehow we're not walking in this hiddenness and this heavenly attitude, and that we're so caught up in this world and the things of this world. We're so caught up in the ways of the world. And so now we're going to talk about what it says, what it means to have a puzzling life. God wants you to have a cryptic life. That word hidden is the word cryptic. It's where we get our word crypt from. Right? Crypt is a place where you hide dead bodies. Okay? Something is cryptography is what? Come on. It's what you do to put things in code. Right? Cryptography. So that you write things in code. That's cryptography. In other words, it's hidden. It's not known. And I believe that our lives are like puzzles to people who don't know Jesus. It's like they're like, why in the world are you doing what you're doing? They don't get it. I've had people that I've shown love to, and they're like, how in the world could you treat me like this? In a nice way. I mean, they were like, blown up. Why are you being so nice to me? They don't get it. Why are you doing this for me? Why aren't you yelling back at me when I'm yelling at you? Or why aren't you being mean to me when I'm being mean to you? Or why are you being kind? Why? Because our life is a puzzle to people of this world. Because we live in a hidden place in heaven, and they don't see it yet, but once they see it, they get it. God opened up his eyes, just like Elijah. They were surrounded by troops. And Gehazi, his servant, was so scared. And the Lord said, yeah, open his eyes. I love those kind of prayers. Open his eyes, Lord. He walks away. And his servant goes, oh, angels everywhere. Right? Many more than these little ugly soldier things. Right? And you see the weaponry, and you're like, oh, my goodness. It's kind of like I'm picturing right now, I mean, standing there, and here's a guy with like a little knife, you know, and an angel standing out there with a sword like this going, like, really? Like, this is really going to be a problem? Romans 8, verse 19 says this, For the creation waits with eager longing for the manifestation of the puzzle, the sons and daughters of God. That word revelation means the, how can I explain it? Handing out the key to the puzzle. Right? It's like we had these, I love playing puzzles. When I was teaching math, I would always have puzzles for my students. So whenever they finished early, they could work on fun stuff like that. And what is it? You give them the puzzle, you let them go at it, and then you always give them the key so that they realize, oh, it's they know that there's the answer. Think of this scripture like this. For the creation waits with eager longing for the key to be handed to them to understand the puzzle of God's redemption. It's like, yeah, we got it now. It's no longer a mystery. These sons of God have been walking among us all this time, and we didn't know it. We didn't know it. There were things that they could be doing and things that we just didn't recognize it, man. It was just like Kathy over there. But man, that girl has this heavenly authority. And everybody like, wow, I didn't realize that was there. I didn't realize that that person carried that authority so that when they said, be healed, that person was healed. I didn't realize that that person had such wisdom when they just automatically opened their mouth and God just solved a problem of mine. It's like that when we step out and live our life in this world, it's like there's this manifestation in a portion of the sons of God and the daughters of God that we're this heavenly being walking on the earth. We're these heavenly beings. We are not like it's not about Neanderthal. And, you know, everybody's fascinated about what kind of creature we were way back in the history. But I want to know. I want to know more about what kind of creature I am now. Amen. And I'm a heavenly creature. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. And I've got a heavenly DNA that's a whole lot better than the earthly DNA I got. So take your spiritual DNA test and find out where you're from. That was good. That was a good one. Come on. There are people that spend money to do that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Your spiritual DNA test. Who are you rooted in? Who are you? Where do you live? Where did your ancestors live? Heaven. Where did your mother's ancestors live? Heaven. What's your DNA? What's your makeup? Heaven. Son of God. Wait a minute, I thought you were like 10% white and 90% black. No, I'm 100% Jesus. I thought you were from Northern Europe. No, I'm from heaven. I thought you're from South America. No, heaven. I thought your ancestors were running around in the trees. No, heaven. They were swinging on the gates of heaven. Glory to God. Come on. That's why Paul said, he said, you know, later on in that passage, he goes, not bond or free or Scythian or Greek. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's all about Him. It's not about all this stuff like what color your skin is or who your daddy was or, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It's not about that. I'll tell you who my daddy is. God. You know who my brother is? Jesus. And you? My sisters? Brothers? Where do I live? Heaven. Gosh, God's got to change our attitude. So we're not in the world, like the shape of the world. So here's what we got here. Let's look at verse 5 now. Now, this is the part that we do. This is the stuff that we do. And I may not go very long here because I don't want to keep y'all too long. Because I may start getting hungry. Okay, here it is. We're in verse 5. Can we go to verse 5 of Colossians 3? Our part. And I may just kind of hit this lightly and then just we may just rock out of here, okay? I love the therefore. Always see what the there is for. So what's the there for? We put to death because we're already dead. Does that make sense? You're going to put to death. The word is mortify. And mortify kind of means scared. I mean, like nowadays we use it like, I was just mortified about that. And that means I was scared. But that means like you're scared to the point of paralysis, like you're dead. You know, that's where it kind of calls that kind of section. But think of it that way. Think of the fact that when you put something to death, you're so scared that it just dies. It freezes. It has no impact. It has no power. There's no anything there. Put to death, therefore. Because you're dead, therefore, you have the power to stop stuff that you used to do. Because you're dead, you now have the power to stop stuff that you used to do. And it's like this. I kind of see faith, hope, and love as the Trinity, obviously. I see it as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But I also see it as past, present, and future. Faith is, you have faith in what God did, right? You have hope in what God is going to do, and you love now. So mortification really is a process of walking in love. That's what you do. You love now because you believed what God did, and you hope knowing that what you believed is real. It's so real. Faith is in the as in what God has done. When you walk into a situation, right, and you praying for healing, you pray for healing because you know they've been healed in Jesus. They've already been healed in the cross. It says, by his stripes we're healed. So when did he get his stripes? Today? No. He got his stripes a whole long time ago, right? So when we pray for healing, by his stripes you're healed, right? I'm healed by his stripes. So when did Jesus get his stripes? 2,000 years ago. So since he got his stripes 2,000 years ago, that already happened. So because I know he healed me by his stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago. So now I need to, now in love, I need to declare my faith. In Jesus' name, I've been healed. I declare it. I pray for it. Father, come on. I know you've done this for me in Christ, so now let's see it right now. Depends on if you want to pray to God, if you want to declare it, if you want to just act it out. Remember, you can do it any one of those ways, right? You can say, God, I know you hear me. I know you did it, so now let's see it, okay? Or you can simply declare it. I know that Jesus healed. Get up. Or you can just do it. Get up and walk. Come on now, I feel like I'm hitting on something in God. I really do. I feel like there are some times that all you need to do is just do it. Do the opposite of whatever that lying symptom is. Just do it. Amen. So if you feel like you can't get up, just get up. I'm getting up in Jesus' name. Boom. And that is your act of faith. You don't have to say a word. Just do it. If you got pain in your arm, say you got pain in your elbow right now. Anybody got pain in your elbow? So I'm right now going to move my elbow with no pain and just start doing it. I move my elbow with no pain. Why? Because Jesus healed me. Amen. He healed me. Now, sometimes, like I said, you can say, now, Father, thank you that Jesus took my infirmities. So now, Lord, I'm going to begin to do it. And you can do it in relationship because he may say something to do something different. He may say to you, take some iodine. He may say to you, do whatever. He may give you a word of wisdom. But I think sometimes we just need to do it. Amen. Just do it. Just get up. I don't have time for this. Exactly. I don't have time. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do God's will right now. Boom. Sorry. Bye. I'm healed. Sometimes all Jesus said is get up off your bed, right? So you get up. Why? It's his power in you. It's his power. It's his power. It's his life. And where's our life? We're in Christ. In heaven, there's no sickness. There's no sickness in heaven. Come on, there's a revival coming in greater realm of healing. We cannot settle for sickness. There's got to be more healing. There's going to be more healing than we can ever. I mean, we'll just imagine, like, wow, people are getting healed. Most of the world, when Jesus' ministry, most of his ministry, people got saved by getting healed. Am I right? So if Jesus did it that way, why should we change what perfection did, right? Jesus healed people. They got saved that way. Why don't we just do the same thing? He showed us how it's done. Okay? Just do it. Just start praying. Believe God. Release healing. And then there are other situations. And I do really believe one of the missing pieces to evangelism is relationships. I think that's why I put it up on our Facebook page. You need to see Jesse Planus' message on touching. You need to see to hear that message. Yeah, it's amazing. I think the key word here is relationship. Some people get saved because you consider them a friend. Just simply you being their friend, you being around them, they'll get saved. That's just what happens. Because they're like, because God never, I mean, here's, Jesse Plants has a worldwide ministry, right? But he still hangs around sinners. Think about it. You'd think that I'm a man of God. I'm holy. I don't want these men to defile me. Can you hear that religious spirit talking? Just slap that religious spirit really good. The higher you get in God, in terms of, you know, God, when God promotes you, that means you still hang out with the lowest of, you know what I mean? You know the real deal in God, the real godly men and women. When you meet them, they're super approachable. They're just super like friendly, and they just be your friend. And that's why I want you to hear that message. If you haven't heard it, we need to bust up the idea that somehow you're too holy and too busy not to spend time with sinners. Come on. Some of you are really good at it. And that's how people get saved. That's how they just relationship. And then they get blessed and they go, "What, man, I just like being around you. There's something about you. I don't get it." And you're going, mm-hmm. And then you got like, you just like, okay, do I tell them now or later? Sometimes you have to really ask the Lord to give you the opening. And they'll open the door for you. And then you start telling them about the Lord. Just tell them about Jesus. Tell them about what he did for you and his love for you. And then they get saved. They just get saved. They melt.